Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Well, hey, we are so glad that you're with us today at Life Center. If I haven't met you, my name's Tyler. Glad that you're taking a portion of your Sunday to be with us, either online or in person. I got some good news for you. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is going with us into 2022? Man, I don't know necessarily what 2021 looked like for you. I don't know necessarily all the details that you had to navigate through in your life, in your health, in your career, in your finances. But here is some good news for you today. I don't necessarily know why you decided to join in or join in online. But I believe with all of my heart that God has something He wants to speak to us. I believe that sincerely. And even before we jump into the message, I want to say a special thank you to those who continue to pray for my beautiful wife, Amber. She's been in a healing process after a very serious vocal surgery that took place in early October. And part of what I know I'm learning through this is sometimes that you want healing to happen right now, and sometimes God reveals His faithfulness in the journey. And even though it's taking a little bit longer than I had hoped, because I was thinking, man, like 2 weeks, we'll be back to normal. Praise God, there's no strain. There's not the effort or the energy that it once took, but still not quite as strong as we know it's going to be. And I just share that with you to say, number one, thank you for those who continue to pray for her, specifically for us. But as well, just to encourage you in the midst of your own journey, where you're at right now is not the full story. Aren't you thankful for that? Where you're at today is not, it's not the finish line. And so be encouraged that God is good and He is so faithful. And I'm so full of hope with what He wants to do in and through this place called Life Center in 2022. In fact, up on January 30th, we are going to have our Vision Weekend culminating with Vision Night, Sunday night, January 30th. I want to encourage you, would you write that date down? Will you do everything in your power to be there? We're going to celebrate some of the things that God has done, yes, but we're really going to be looking forward into what's ahead of us for this community known as Life Center. And so really excited about some of those things. It will be a night unlike anything we've done. And so we're going to have a lot of fun in believing God for great, great things. Amen? Last week, we started a new series that we've entitled Essentials. Can you say Essentials? Now, I recognize even as I have you say that word, some of us were like, Tyler, please, I don't want to hear that word anymore. You've heard it for the last 2 years, time and time again. And we've all journeyed through what is essential, what isn't. Have you noticed there's no lack of opinion, by the way, on that question? Certain things are deemed essential. Certain things are not necessarily considered essential. And yet, I want us, over these next number of weeks, as we journey through this series, we're going to look at the book of Acts to really our ancestors in the faith, the first century church. And there were some things that we see in their lives that they not only considered essential, there were some practices that they put in motion that actually became essential for not only the church, but for each of us as followers of Jesus. And today I've entitled this message, A Decision Called Devotion. Can you say devotion? Devotion. I want to talk about devotion today. In a moment, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, we're going to talk about a decision called devotion. But before I get there, I think it's important, if we're going to talk about essential, I think we need to be coming from the same starting point. So when I say the word essential, it literally means this. It's absolutely necessary. It's not optional. It's not up for discussion. To call something essential means that there's no room for negotiation. It is absolutely necessary. It is indispensable. Now, we've seen the tension and the conflict in our culture when it comes to what is essential, what's not, because there's certain things that are deemed essential that some people say, no, that's optional. There's other things that people say are optional and other people go, no, that's essential. What's funny is this works its way into the church and how people view Jesus, and even more specifically, what it looks like to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Because I guarantee you, if I surveyed the crowd that's here today or those who are watching online, there would be varied opinions about what is essential and what is optional when it comes to us following Jesus. But if it's absolutely necessary, here's what it means. It means that it's worth being devoted to. If something's essential, it actually means that we should lean in with our devotion, with our energy. And let's be honest, there's a lot of examples throughout history. There's examples even in present day time where people are so devoted to something, but the problem is they're devoted to the wrong thing. You experience this. Now, hopefully I don't step on too many toes, but right now, if you jump on YouTube and you type in flat earth, you are going to see video after video after video of a group of people who are convinced that the earth is flat. No, this is not a joke. They are devoted. They are convinced. In fact, listen, you might have coworkers, neighbors, family members, friends, and they are devoted to this ideal. People devote themselves to interesting things at times. When I was in college, there was a local skateboard shop that was giving away a skateboard, but you had to do a certain thing and record it on video in order to win the free skateboard. And what was that? You had to devote yourself to chugging a gallon of milk, and you had to hold it down for an hour. For those of you who don't know, you cannot hold it down for an hour. And so this skateboard shop ended up with all these video clips of college-age students. I'll let you fill in the blank, okay? They were devoted, though, to winning a skateboard. You think that as society continues to move forward and we move forward in technology and wisdom and all of this stuff, that we would move past stupid things that we devote ourselves to. Can I just say the milk crate challenge? Has anybody seen that? Like people trying to walk over stacks of milk crates and ending in utter defeat. People devote themselves to silly things all the time. But it's not just silly things, because there's much more serious examples of devoting yourself to the wrong thing. All I have to do is mention the name Jim Jones or drinking the Kool-Aid, and some of us understand the dynamic of that. For those of us who are maybe a little bit younger, maybe you were like me being a young person, a teenager, and hearing about what was going on in Waco, Texas with the Branch Davidians and this man named David Koresh. People devote themselves to a lot of things, but just because you're devoted doesn't mean you're devoting yourself to the right thing. The Rajneesh Puram in Central Oregon and the craziness. And some people say, well, yeah, people who devote themselves, like they're crazy. They're whack. Understand, in Central Oregon, there was doctors, there was lawyers, there was brilliant people who bought into a lie, hook, line, and sinker, devoting themselves to the wrong thing. You see, here's the tension that we all have to face. There is a weight to the decisions that we make. Whether you like it or not, there is a weight that comes with our decisions. Why? Because our decisions in life create direction. And so what you devote yourself to, it actually matters. And the question that I want us to unpack before we jump into Acts chapter 2 is this. Are there things in your life that you're devoted to? Are they leading you toward or away from what Scripture says is essential? See, we're all devoted to something. We are all devoted in making decisions in alignment with the things that we devote ourselves to. But are they moving me closer to what God says is essential, or are they moving me away from that? Would you look with me in Acts chapter 2? I love this passage of scripture because it's really a fulfillment and then a hinge point into the rest of the book of Acts. See, Jesus said that after he goes and ascends to the Father, that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, which was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and everything that Jesus had told his disciples about that you could read about in John chapter 14 through 16. Jesus was going to send his Spirit. And because of this, the world would never be the same. And we find ourselves in Acts chapter 2 where the Spirit is poured out. There's a crowd in Jerusalem. They hear all this chaos because the Feast of Pentecost is going on. And the people begin to ask questions. And we see this, that Peter stands up. He preaches to the crowd. 3,000 people get saved that day. And then we see this hinge point in Scripture. Look with me, Acts chapter 2. Starting in verse 42, it says this, they devoted, can you say devoted? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together. They were walking in unity. They held things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as they had need. Every day they devoted themselves. Again, I want you to notice a pattern. Twice now we've seen these words together. Devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. I want you to notice what was leading to this incredible move of salvation and transformation. Notice that it doesn't say there was an incredible program that the disciples came up with, and because of that, every day people were being added. It wasn't a program. It wasn't fancy lighting, nothing wrong with lighting, nothing wrong with programs. It wasn't the music, nothing wrong with music. No, what's going on is transformed lives are on full display to the world around them, and people are asking questions. What is different? What is going on in these people? It's interesting that the Lord, because of this transformation, is adding more and more people every day who are experiencing salvation. But we have to ask the question, would that happen if they hadn't devoted themselves? Here's the point. Devotion is a decision. Devotion is a decision. No one can make you devoted. It's not that Peter stood up and said, all right, unless you're devoted, you're all going to die. That was not his strategy in preaching that day. There was not a manipulation that forced devotion. The people had to choose devotion, and they were willing to choose devotion. Why? Because they encountered the grace of Jesus that led them to salvation. And because of that salvation, they now have received the Holy Spirit. And because the Spirit is now dwelling inside of them, they are living lives that are devoted to Him. Devotion is a decision. And understand, even if somebody could force you to do the external actions of devotion, one of the things that I've challenged my kids with this year is to engage with me in the one-year Bible reading plan. Now, I could do things to make them read their Bible. I could force it, but how many know just because you can get somebody to do something on the outside doesn't mean that they're with you on the inside? See, this is important for us to understand. We can do the external actions and still resist in our heart. See, a great example of this is every now and then when we find ourselves in need of some help and we ask somebody to help and they get up and they do the external actions of help, but how many know their heart or their attitude is not helpful on the inside? You ever experience this? Different times, This rarely happens, by the way, in our house, but different times my kids will be playing video games or watching something and I'll need a hand. And there's this sound that comes out of a child when they're doing the action, but their heart's not with you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It sounds a little like this. They're doing the action of help, but the attitude is not helpful, right? And understand, you could devote your actions in your faith. You could read your Bible. You can pray. You can show up at church. You can do all of the external activity. But understand, devotion is a decision that includes the mind, the heart, and the will. When we talk about devotion, we are not talking just about external activity, although it includes that. Understand, it is a decision that involves even the core, essential part of who you are. And understand, if salvation is essential, then being devoted to the source of that salvation is not optional. If salvation, if we believe that unless you trust in Jesus, unless you say yes to his plan of salvation and grace, unless you say yes to him, you will spend eternity apart from God. If we believe that that message is essential, then being devoted to that source of salvation is non-negotiable. And yet, let's be honest, there's a lot of people who are in love with the idea that Jesus loves them. And I think that's a good thing to be in love with. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves you? Man, I'm so thankful that Jesus loves me to the point that he was willing to die for me, to suffer for me, to be buried for me, but then rise again from the dead. Friends, that is good news, but understand, you can be in love with the idea that Jesus loves you and still never make the decision to devote yourself, to walk that salvation out, to lean into that source. And this matters because without understanding salvation, the call to devotion does not make sense. This is one of the things that those of us who have maybe been in the church for a long time, we have to remember. Sometimes we get shocked when people who don't know God live like they don't know God. And we yell at a culture, a society that doesn't know God. And we're like, you should act like you know God. What are we saying? You should act like you're devoted to a source that you don't even trust in. That's a disconnect. See, we have to start with the source, but understand that source moves us to this place called devotion. See, our hope, though, in our devotion is not found in ourselves. Some of us, we're tempted when we hear a message like this, we go, okay, well, I just got to try harder. I turn the page into a new year, everything's going to be different. Why? Because it's a new year. Anybody else ever made that mistake? This year's going to be different. Why? Because I just turned the page. And unless you actually make decisions in alignment with where you are wanting to go and to be, nothing will change because the calendar changed. You see, our hope and devotion is not found in ourselves. And if that's true, then what is our hope for living lives of devotion? Our hope is this: because Jesus was fully devoted to us, we can live lives that are fully devoted to him. You want to know the source of your devotion? It's in the fact that Jesus, our Savior, our King, who is alive today, because he was fully and is fully devoted to us, friends, we can live lives that are fully devoted to him. That's why last week, as Pastor Josiah preached, and if you missed that message, make sure you jump on YouTube and listen to it. So we talked about this idea of the source of our salvation. We have to be connected to the source. Why? Because if we get that wrong, then everything else is built on the wrong foundation. So if I don't understand the source of my salvation, here's what I often end up doing. I lean into the acts of devotion and I use those to try to make myself right so that God will show me his favor because of all of the things I've done. I got to understand salvation and the source of that salvation in order for the call to devotion to make sense. It's interesting, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The crowd is cut to the heart and they're saying, well, what do we need to do? And Peter gives this simple call. He says, repent and believe and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is for you, your children, and all those who are far off. You see, our hope to live out devoted lives to Jesus, guess what? Jesus in his faithfulness to us and his sending of his Spirit to take up residence in us, friends, that is our only hope. Let me be really clear. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. You cannot live a devoted life to Jesus in your own strength, in your own wisdom. You can sit down and read the Bible in your own wisdom and strength, but you cannot live a life of devotion apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it's to your benefit that I'm going away. Fast forward in Acts chapter 15, we're going to see this discussion arise because these people who are outside of the Jewish faith are coming to faith in Jesus. But some people were upset. Why? Because there was some requirements in their mind. I would paraphrase it this way. There were some things that they considered essential. In fact, the word that they use in Acts chapter 15 is, it's necessary. It's vital. How many of us have ever encountered those? It's necessary. If you're going to be saved, it's necessary to... For these people from the Pharisees, they felt that it was necessary, even for these Gentiles, to be circumcised and to follow all of the Old Testament law. And it set off this big discussion called the Jerusalem Council, and they came back to this place where Peter stood up and he reminded them, no, I preached at Cornelius's house and I was preaching about Jesus and the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he fell on us. In other words, we are all saved the same way by faith through the grace of Jesus. We all experience salvation the same way. Jesus is the source. And devotion, understand this, devotion is the outcome of salvation, not the cause of it. Let me say that again. Devotion should be the outcome of salvation. It's not the cause of it. You see, belief precedes behavior. Did you know that Christianity is not an exercise in behavior modification, first and foremost? Christianity is not about making bad people good. It's about making dead people live. That is the message of the gospel. And as we live this out, understand devotion, it becomes the outcome. I can't have enough external actions of devotion to be able to stand before God and go, God, look at all the good things I've done. Why? Because scripture says all of our righteous works are like filthy rags before God. So I don't use devotion to try to get something from God. No, because I've experienced salvation, I walk out a life of devotion. Do we see the difference? This is why Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 that we are to work out our salvation. Notice he does not say work for your salvation. Devotion is the process of us working out our salvation. And here's why this is so important as we are at the start of a new year. Understand what you are devoted to is shaping your destiny. What you're devoted to in life, it is shaping your destiny. If you want to know where you're going to be in a number of years, all you got to look at in your life is what are you currently devoted to. It will show you where you are headed. Whether we like it or not, our decisions have weight. What we are devoted to, it's shaping our destiny. I remember I went on a retreat when I was in fifth grade. And it was in fifth grade, it was the first time that I went skiing in my life. And can I tell you, from that moment, I was hooked. I remember getting ready for that retreat. My dad found a set of skis for me at a garage sale for like 15 bucks. And we were there down in our basement in our house in Tacoma. And he basically showed me two things. He said, Tyler, here's how you make a wedge. And he goes, that's how you stop. I said, okay, wedge, stop. He goes, and then if you make them straight, that's how you go. And I said, okay, straight, go, wedge, stop. He goes, you got it, you're good. I remember going on this retreat, and my friends, they'd skied for a while. They didn't tell me there was this thing called the rope toe. They were just like, hey, come get on the chair with us. I was like, cool, a chair. But can I tell you, even though that first day was a disaster, from that moment, I was hooked. That one time changed everything for me. I remember getting home and saying to my parents, I want to get a subscription for Powder Magazine. 12 months a year, I want to read about skiing. I remember in the fall, back in the olden days, we went up to this place called Blockbuster. Can I get an amen? See, kids today, they don't even understand. We went up to Blockbuster and had to rent Warren Miller ski films, VHS, baby. And I would put it in October or November and hit play on it, watch it, love it, watch it again. Make sure I rewind it because I didn't want to get the fine. Rewound it, returned it. I remember my dad picking me up early from school sometimes. At that point, he had started a new company, his painting business, and he was running his painting business out of our red station wagon, and he would clear out the painting equipment and pick me up from school, and our skis would be in the back of the red station wagon. We'd go night skiing at Snoqualmie Pass. Friends, I was committed. Can I tell you? My kids didn't even have a choice. Why? Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will ski. Can I get an amen? They didn't even have a choice. Why? Because I was committed. I was devoted. I loved it. I knew that it was going to be a part of my life. I feel like I'm a new human when I'm in the mountains. I feel like I'm a better pastor because every now and then I get away and I go ski. Listen, it's something that we were committed to, and it led us to bring our kids into it. You see, what we're devoted to, it shapes our destiny. For the follower of Jesus, understand, devotion isn't optional. It is essential. Sometimes we go, oh, that's for the really super spiritual people. No. As a follower of Jesus, devotion is not optional. I'm not just talking about doing your morning devotions. I'm talking about a life of devotion. It's not optional. Why? Because what you're devoted to, it's shaping your values. It's shaping what matters to you, your worldview, your motivations, your priorities. Friends, all of those things are being shaped by what you devote your life to. In the words of Bob Dylan, you're going to have to serve somebody. We all serve somebody or something. We all devote our lives, ourselves, to somebody or something. Some of us were devoted to the opinions of others. Can I tell you, this gets real in cancel culture and what people think and how people can just post whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, and there's just no accountability, there's no nothing. So there's a lot of people who are devoted to serving the opinions of others. There's others who are devoted to keeping up the image of the perfect life that we try to project. Social media has really expedited this one. Back in the day, if you wanted to be insecure about your house, all you had to do was go visit somebody else's house. Now you can do that from the comfort of your own living room. And so there's people who are so devoted to keeping that image up. And can I tell you, one of the greatest ways to drain your life is trying to sustain an image that you know is disconnected from reality. Authenticity is always a part of the pathway of peace. There's some who, they're devoted to finding the next relationship. If I can just get the next relationship, or the next promotion, or the next advancement, or acquiring the next toy, then I'll be good. I think it's important that we're honest with ourselves today. Because I think some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we're busy being devoted to ourselves. We're busy serving ourselves. We love the idea that Jesus loves us and we're good with that, but when it comes to devotion, we are devoted primarily to one thing and one thing only. Ourselves. And friends, that's where the collision of priorities shows up. In devotion, understand that decision, it's shaping our destiny. Salvation in Jesus, here's the good news. It brings us freedom from devoting ourselves to the very things that would love to enslave us. This is one of the paradoxes of living as a citizen of the kingdom of God. True freedom actually comes not when I step away from everything and I get to be the one calling the shots. No, true freedom comes actually when I leave the things that I am convinced will bring me freedom and I come under and submit myself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's where freedom's found. When we actually acknowledge he's the source of our salvation and out of that source I live a life of devotion. You see, submitting our lives in devotion to Jesus and his ways, guess what? It brings freedom. It brings freedom. Look with me quickly to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 once again. I want you to notice this verse, and I want to unpack each word, because each of these words has a little bit of weight here. Notice that they devoted themselves. It was a decision. It doesn't say because Peter's message was so amazing, they couldn't do anything else but to be devoted. No, they made a decision. Friends, if you're going to live a life devoted to Jesus in 2022, understand it is a decision. Not that you'll just make right now, but a decision that you will make every day of the year. It's a life of devotion. But they devoted themselves to four key things. Can you say it with me? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Can you say teaching? To the fellowship. Can you say fellowship? To breaking bread. Can you say break some bread? And to prayer. So those four things once again. Teaching. Can you say teaching? Fellowship. Breaking bread. Prayer. We talk about these things before we celebrate communion together. See, the first thing we notice is that these followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now understand, we have a luxury today that the first century church did not. The canon of Scripture was not yet complete. The apostles were entrusted by Jesus with the teaching of the kingdom that was the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament law and prophets. Therefore, the apostles passed down this authoritative scripture, which we now have in our possession in the Bible. And these new believers, they devoted themselves to this teaching. And I want to challenge you to devote yourself to Scripture. This word is living and active. Nothing has transformed my life more than the Bible. So understand, we need to, yes, devote ourselves and live lives of devotion, but what should we be devoted to? We should be devoted to the teaching of Scripture. You see, we are all students of something. There's some of you in the room today, there's some who are watching online. You have more sports statistics stuck in your head than I will ever begin to understand. You can't tell me you aren't a student of something. There's some of us, we are so committed to knowing the news headlines, to know what's going on in culture, to know the next trend in fashion, to know the next recipe, to know how to fix things. All of those things are fine in and of themselves. But understand, as a follower of Jesus, I must be devoted to teaching. See, this is something we're walking through even in our own family, in our own household. I've challenged each of my kids this year to join me in the one-year Bible reading plan. And yesterday, I had the opportunity to take both of my sons. We went out to coffee in the morning, and we are talking about what we are learning as we are journeying through Scripture. Can I remind you, if a couple of teenage boys can do this, we can do this. And I know one of the obstacles that I often face when I challenge people to jump into Scripture for themselves is there's usually two things that come up. Number one, I don't know where to read. And two, I don't have time. Do you know that the iPhone has this little thing called screen time? I challenge you to just take a look at it and see where you're spending your time. Because roughly, if you want to read through the entire Bible this next year, about 12 to 20 minutes a day will take you through the entire Bible. You got time. But maybe for you, that's a lot to bite off. That's okay. Maybe you just want to go through the New Testament this next year, or even just the Gospels. Do you know all of that? You can choose a track in our one-year Bible reading plan, and it will take you through those things in Scripture. Here's where you find it, lifecenter.com/, get ready for this, one-year Bible. Boom. Made it easy. And here's why I'm so passionate about this. Listen, you are living in a generation that has more access to Scripture than any other generation that's ever lived on the face of the earth. You can't tell me that we don't have some responsibility and accountability that comes along with that type of access. Because you can access it in paper. You can order one on Amazon. If you don't have one, talk to our team. We will give you a Bible today. If you don't want to read paper, you just want a digital on your phone, you can listen to it in your car. There's so many ways that you can engage in Scripture. We need to be devoted to Scripture, okay, to teaching. The second one is fellowship. Can you say fellowship? See, last week we talked about how Jesus is the source of our salvation, but that salvation has a structure. We understand we are saved by grace through faith. And the reason that I need fellowship around me is from time to time, I get a little bit off track and I need somebody to remind me, no, you are saved by grace through faith, Tyler. And I also need people every now and then to point my eyes back and say, hey, remember the source of your salvation. There's a whole lot of stuff in Scripture that we cannot do in isolation. We can't do it alone. We need to be in fellowship. That's why even for those who join us online every week, there are people who are standing by ready to pray with you right now. Why? Because we can't do this alone. We need fellowship. Here's the third one. Breaking of bread. Can you say breaking of bread? Breaking of bread. Now, this is a fun one, especially the day before we go into 21 days of prayer and fasting. But breaking of bread matters. Why? Because there was a sense of unity and relationship in the early church that I'm concerned we are rapidly losing in the century that we live in. Let me ask you a question. Do you have relationship with other followers of Jesus to the level that you can sit down and share a meal with them? Or do you just know some people, you say, hey, how you doing? Sunday morning, bounce in, bounce out. See, fellowship matters. Breaking of bread, sitting in that place of community, authentic relationship. And I know the pushback here sometimes is this thought, well, Tyler, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Can I ask you a loving question as your pastor? Where is that found in Scripture? Spoiler, it's not. Now, you are saved not because of the faith of your spouse or the faith of your parents or the faith of your children. You are saved through a personal decision of interacting with the grace of Jesus by faith. That's where that personal idea shows up. But that salvation that you experience personally never stays alone by itself. We need to be people who are in biblical community. That's why I believe showing up at church matters. That's why being in a relationship with others matter. We need to get to the place where we don't just sit in a similar chair or pew or row with somebody, but that we build relationship to the point that we can break bread together and enjoy the goodness of God together. Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread. Fourth and finally, prayer. Can you say prayer? Starting tomorrow, we launch into 21 days of prayer and fasting. Notice the order, prayer and fasting. See, the order is important. Why? Because if you just lean into these next number of weeks and you say, okay, well, I'm going to give up this and this as a fast, but you don't actually engage in prayer, you've missed the point. See, the power doesn't start because you give something up. The power happens because as I set that aside, I'm giving more time and energy and focus into prayer. It matters. I know some of you are maybe new to church, new to following Jesus. You're kind of concerned going, wait a minute, you're asking me to not eat for 21 days? That's not at all what I'm saying. What I want to challenge you to do is pray and ask the Lord, what do you want me to set aside so I can give these next 21 days of focused attention? Let me use this word, of greater devotion to you. For some of you, maybe you're going to set aside a meal a day, or maybe you're going to fast a couple of days a week. Maybe for you, you need to fast Netflix. Hello. Burning some time there. Maybe you need to fast social media. What about this? What if we fasted negativity for the next 21 days? Revival might just happen in Tacoma. Could you imagine that? Like, no, I'm going to set that aside. And every time I'm tempted to say something negative, I'm going to pray. Some of us, that right there could transform our prayer lives. There's a number of reasons why we fast and pray. Since the early church, this is what Christians have been doing. Jesus actually said to his disciples, when you fast, not if you fast. Fasting helps us reorient our appetites and reminds our appetites. Guess what? You're not in control. There's a lot of reasons of why we can fast. In fact, I posted a blog about it this last week. You can check it out online if you want or in the Life Center app. But understand, the point is that we are leaning into praying together, to seeking God together. Why? Because I believe he wants to reveal himself in ways like he's never revealed himself in your life. But we have to, what? We have to devote ourselves. It's a decision. The good news is our hope isn't in the strength of our decision. Our hope resides in the fact that Jesus was so devoted to us that we can live lives of devotion to him. And that's why I think as we come to celebrate communion today, I'm going to ask that you prepare your heart. If you didn't receive communion elements on the way in, would you raise a hand? One of our team members will come and make sure that you can receive those. As well, those who are watching at home, I would love for you to grab something and join with us in this. But the reason why we consistently and intentionally come back to celebrating communion at Life Center time and time again, and as followers of Jesus, is this is a tangible reminder of how devoted Jesus was to us. He allowed his body to be sacrificed. He allowed his blood to be shed. And it's in light of his devotion to us that we live lives that are devoted to him. That's why we come back to this again and again and again. We preach the gospel to ourselves again and again. We've been saved. We've been set free. We're a new creation in Christ. That's why this matters. It's never our devotion that brings us to God. It's his devotion that brought us to him. And we spend lives responding to that good news day in, day out. Before we celebrate communion together today, I want to take a moment to pray. Because maybe there's some who are in this room or there's others who are watching online, and you have yet to make that decision to put your trust in the source of salvation. Understand, the source isn't communion. Communion points us to the source. His name is Jesus. The source isn't your devotion, your activity for God. No, the source is Jesus, and we live responding to that salvation that he has provided Today, maybe you want to make that decision. Say yes to Jesus. To trust in the source of salvation. To receive his grace by faith. If that's you today, I'm going to say this simple prayer, and I'd love for you to say this prayer with me, agreeing in your heart. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation and help me to follow you every day of my life. It's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you grab that bread that you have today? Scripture says that the night that Jesus was betrayed, he shared a meal with his disciples. And he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this often in remembrance of me." Jesus, today we say thank you for allowing your body to be given for us. We recognize, Jesus, that you are the bread of life. You're the source. God, all of the longings, all of the hungers in our lives, in my life, they're found and fulfilled in you. So I pray that as we reflect today, we remember how devoted you were to us. God, that it would move us to deeper places of awe and wonder and worship. God, that we would live lives that respond to your devotion with lives of devotion. We thank you for it. Let's go ahead and partake of the bread. The scriptures continue that after supper, Jesus took a cup and he said that this cup is the new covenant. The new covenant, that agreement, it's confirmed in his blood. Jesus, thank you for allowing your blood to be shed for us. God, forgive us for the times that we thought it was our devotion that brought us to you, when in reality, if you weren't so devoted to the point of allowing your blood to be shed, we would be without hope today. But you still said yes. And God, we thank you that on the cross you declared, "It is finished." Lord, thank you for the hope that we have because of the blood that you've shed for us. And we receive it. We rest in it today. In Jesus' name, let's go ahead and partake. God, you are good. You are good. Can I invite you to stand to your feet all across this room today? For those who are watching at home, maybe you want to stand up as well. Listen, I want to encourage us to prepare our hearts for these next 21 days. And I'm going to ask something bold. I'm going to ask that every one of us, not just a few of us, every one of us lean in. You'll be amazed at what God will do in and through your life. I believe that he's got even more for us. And so today, as we're preparing to be sent out of this place on assignment, because we are leaving as the church, we're going into our workplaces this week as the church, we're walking onto campuses as the church, we are invading our neighborhoods as the church. Let's believe that God has even more, amen? So Jesus, I pray blessing over each and every one of these friends today. God, that we would walk in your grace, and we would walk in your strength, and that in light of your devotion to us, we would live lives that are devoted to you. It's in the strong name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, thanks so much for joining with us today. We love you. If you need any prayer, some of our pastors and prayer team will be up here. Have a great day. We'll see you at one of our prayer nights coming up these next 21 days. God bless.